Welcome to the Main Street Minute with equestrian marketing expert India Wilkinson. This is the destination for all things equestrian, from horse sales, breeding, horse health, and a look into the intricacies of the horse business world. Join India as she dives in with industry leaders to discuss the challenging and rewarding lifestyle of being in the equestrian world. And get ready for the Main Street Minute.
Hi there, this is India Wilkinson with the Main Street Minute, and I am super excited to welcome my friend Rhonda Gailey today. I've known Rhonda forever from our eventing days, back when we both lived in Georgia, and Rhonda has built an enormous business in the real estate world, and we're going to talk about that and her show, Selling with the Gaileys, and all of the other things you have going on, Rhonda, so thank you for being
here. Of course, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited.
And I'm so proud of you, too. You've built an amazing business.
Thank you. And thank you for being a part of that. You have supported me from the beginning, and I'm really grateful for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So I actually want to start off with talking about, we're going to talk about the details of the real estate, but you have a reality type show with Selling with the Gaileys. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I actually was on a show called Selling Coastal for about a year, and it was a small segment within a 30-minute show where I was showcasing all of our coastal properties that we were marketing and kind of the lifestyle around that. And then the producers came to me and asked if we wanted to kind of do our own show. And I was like, probably. Everyone tells me I should have my own show anyway. So it's been a lot of fun. We launched last year. We have filmed 4 episodes. So we're almost done with season 1, and we just got renewed for another season. So I'm excited.
That's awesome. Where can people find it? Like, tell me about that.
So it airs, each episode airs on different networks, depending upon how it's picked up. So it's been on Fox, it's been on ABC, it's been on CBS. My previous Selling Coastal was on HGTV. So, but then we also, as soon as it airs, it streams on all platforms. So you can find it on our YouTube channel. You can find it on Apple TV, Roku, all of that.
So, okay, that's so cool. So
and it tell streams us, I mean, on our website as well.
Okay. So tell me about what's the show about? Like, what's the premise of the show?
It is literally just a day in our life. We, as you know, we have almost our entire family in the business or in one of my businesses in some way. So it kind of follows each office and all of the realtors that work there, how we manage that, our meetings, our closings, our deals, our personal lives, and all of the in between.
Oh, I think it's amazing how much that's evolved. And people want to know the details of what goes on behind the scenes. And it's always like so fascinating to see what the reality is.
Yeah. I mean, that was the thing that we were getting a consistent theme with. People would be like, well, tell me like what it's like to be a realtor. We would have agents that would want to join us. And then the same thing kind of from our seller and buyer side, they wanted to really know kind of what goes involved in setting up a media day. When we do a listing, like what does that look like? And so I think for like the whole grand scheme of things, it puts things into perspective so that people really see what all we do behind the scenes. It's not, just, hey, we're going to put a listing on MLS and it gets sold mm-hmm. in a few days. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And we have obviously the multiple companies that kind of play into that. So it's really cool to see all the crossing over in between the different companies and how it affects our business.
So how long have you and Rich been in real estate? Because I know it started with the two of you.
No, it didn't.
Oh, okay.
So it actually started with my mom.
Okay.
So she was a real estate broker and told me I should get into real estate when I was a young girl. And I was like, I don't want to be in real estate. And she was like, Rhonda, it's like the best career for a woman because there's no ceiling and you can have a flexible schedule. But I thought I knew better. So I went to college to be in broadcast journalism and minored in marketing. And
okay.
then
she Makes
did
sense.
That. And then she said, well, why don't you help me out one summer? And it led into this. So essentially, we started out, I spent 10 years doing working under her company, Graham & Associates. We did new home construction. We did a lot of new home communities. I represented a lot of builders. We were in Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina.
Wow.
And we focused on that until 2008 came. Meanwhile, while Rich and I were first married, he was in the mortgage business. So he was doing mortgages and I was over here doing real estate. And then after the crash happened in 08, we kind of streamlined everything, regrouped, and then I relaunched our new separate real estate company in 2012, which is obviously Gailey Enterprises. And then that is when Rich got his license and joined in the real estate side of things. And then it just kind of grew from there.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize that. That's interesting. So Mama did know best all along.
Mama did know best, and here I am, going on year 32 of being in
Wow.
real estate. And
Wow.
she still does real estate.
She does. Oh, I love
Yeah.
that. I love
Yeah.
that. So I know that both of your children, which I guess they're not really children anymore, but both of them are on your team. Are they?
No.
No.
But I am definitely a serial entrepreneur. So anytime I can think of something that, like, if I enjoy something, I try to figure out how to make a business out of it.
Yes,
And so
yes.
that's how the equestrian business started. So a lot of people think that maybe I started in the equestrian business and then went into real estate, but it was the opposite. I started the riding as a hobby, as almost like a stress relief. And then it led into a business, obviously. I'm like, well, if I'm going to spend this much time and effort on my hobby, I might as well make this into a business. At the time, Riley was only, I think, 3 or 4 years old. She had just started riding. We were all riding as a family. And then it grew into importing from Ireland, New Zealand, England, selling. Then it grew into breeding. Riley, went to the University of Florida, got her undergrad, and she's now in her third year vet program. So she's about to become a doctor.
Yeah.
And so she runs the Peachtone Farm and the breeding business, but she's actually just recently switched to small animal. So she is the only one in the family that is not in real estate. My
Okay.
son, Parker, runs our Jacksonville, Northeast Florida
Yeah.
branch. He has a team of about 20 agents underneath him. He
Wow.
married a girl named Allie. She's in it. She was our top agent of the year last year. And my daughter's new husband, my son-in-law, Drew, is in it and works for our Ocala office and
That's
specializes
where
in
I got
equestrian
that.
farms. Yes.
Yeah.
And they are
Because
expecting our first grandchild. So we have a
I.
grandbaby
No,
coming
that's
in about 8 weeks.
amazing. Yeah. Well, I love Riley. Y'all boarded at my barn for a while, and I just fell in love with her. We would hack out,
Yes.
pretty much every day. And that's when she was like trying to decide what she wanted to do. And yeah. And then, so I think I skipped a step because you guys lived in Georgia. And then when did
Yes.
you make the big migration? You're in Ocala. I know you have a big farm in Ocala now.
Yes, I love this story too. And you can appreciate this being a horsewoman. Most people, I just skip this story. So we had been seasoning and wintering down in Ocala for several years. She and I would go down, leave the boys at home, take our top two or three horses, and do the circuit. And then the spring of 2017, my son had just finished his first year of college at Barry and he'd gone on a football scholarship. And as mama knows best, I knew as his mom that he wasn't really enjoying college. College football was different from high school football. So I sat him down. I didn't even tell Rich this. I was like, we went to dinner one night at Outback and I was like, hey, I got an idea for you. You can go back and do another year at college. But if you are not going to play football, then obviously you lose your scholarship. But I have a better idea if you want to take advantage of it. I'd like to expand into Florida for the real estate business. If you want to go get your real estate license, we've got two cities I had earmarked. I actually had earmarked Chattanooga, Tennessee, or Jacksonville, Florida. I thought he was going to choose Chattanooga, Tennessee at the time because it was much closer to us because at the time we were living in Rome, Georgia.
Okay.
He chose Jacksonville. Simultaneously, I knew Riley was going to be applying to UF because apparently that was the only school she ever wanted to go to. And unbeknownst to me, it was the only one she applied to. Thank God she got in. So we sent Parker down in the fall of 2017, right after he got his real estate license, got an apartment in Jacksonville, moved him in, said, bye, you have 1 year, good luck. And he did 12 million his first year.
Wow. Wow.
So then we opened, we came to Ocala at the beginning of 2018 because Riley was applying to UF. She got in. We said, you know what? Let's just spend a season or two down here. And a season or two turned into next year will be 10 years in Ocala.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's amazing. So most of the fam, I mean, it is pretty cool that you have so many members of your family as a part of this. So, how does that do family gatherings turn into? Do you guys always talk about? Yeah.
And I know no difference, right? Because that's how I grew up. So my brother's a builder and developer, was a builder developer, was in the business. My aunt was in the business. My mom was in the business. I mean, everybody, and my sister. So I don't know any different. And I loved it growing up. I thought I wanted to do something different. But like now in hindsight, 32 years in, I would have it no other way. Are there pros and cons? Absolutely. But, you know, being able to all just get up and go and do vacation, have a flexible schedule. Do we have a lot of family dinners talking about, you know, deals? We do. But I mean, that's just part of our world and we enjoy it. So it's not, it doesn't become a problem. There are occasionally sometimes where Riley's like, hello, I'm over here. Let's talk about something else. But even my son-in-law's mother, so Drew, who married Riley, his mother she's our top loan officer and runs our mortgage arm because we have ownership in a mortgage company as well. So she's also now in it.
So the moral of that story, if you come over for dinner to the Gaileys, you're going to end up in the real estate world. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We are going to recruit you one way or the other.
So how do you think, I mean, I can see just from the outside how much real estate has changed over the past 10 years. Like, what are your thoughts on how much things have changed in selling real estate?
Wow. So much. I mean, I could spend an hour and a half talking just about this, but you know, it's ever evolving. And I think that's one of the things I love about real estate is that there's always something new. I always encounter a new experience. I have over 60 agents that work for me and they know they can always get a hold of me just about at any time of the day. And they'll say, I know this is a crazy question, but and I'm like, actually, no, it's not. And there are a lot of times they'll ask me something that I've never encountered before, even being in it 31 years. So, and that's why I sit here. I'm in front of this beach because I'm at this mastermind, you know, with other fellow broker owners learning, evolving. We're talking about a big topic of moment is AI and how that has affected our world in buying and selling. So it's changed a lot. I mean, obviously everything's electronic. The marketing is different. The AI is different. Our buyers' thoughts are different. So it's changed, I think, for me personally, for the better, but you have to be open to that. You have to be open to change and you have to be open to pivot. So that's been the name of the game.
Well, something that I've always just loved and admired about you, because it's so speaks my language in marketing, and you really understand that marketing matters and the quality of photos and videos. And you know, I see it on the other side. I see your Facebook posts, but I see it on the other side because you advertise your horses with Main Street and I never have to worry about your videos and your photos and your descriptions. And I'm sure that is something that, like, I was trying to explain to somebody the other day, trying to put it in easier language for them to understand, like, because their photos just were not good, and helping someone understand you are competing with everyone on social media, you know, as they're scrolling, you know, to click on that. And I said, if you were in the market for a house and you saw this beautiful, you know, maybe it's a, you know, $1 million home, but the picture showed the bed was unmade and there was a dishes in the sink, like, you would never do that. And I said, that's kind of the same thing, and showing all the shovels and the rakes in the background. And, you know, so marketing really matters. And I know maybe you can explain, like, the attention span of people these days, like something has to pop, you know, for them to stop and look. You agree?
That's one of my biggest pet peeves, just the fact that the attention to detail is not there. And when we pitch a listing or when we talk to somebody that could potentially be a client, we explain we're not just a real estate company. We are a full-blown marketing company. You're not just hiring a realtor. And, you know, that's where a lot of people go wrong. They use their friend. They use their neighbor. They use somebody who's had their license, but it's been part-time. I mean, this is what we do. And like I said, I minored in marketing. So I have a real passion for marketing. Yeah. And you can see it across all of my businesses because, you know, back in the day, you know, this new generation doesn't understand that having social media is a great thing because it's essentially free, but it also can be a negative thing because it used to be like first impressions in person. You know, you go to a job interview, you put on your best suit. And nowadays, the newer generation, they don't understand, or a lot of people just don't understand, that online is your first impression. So that first photo, the primary photo of your ad, the video that you're pushing out, your Facebook profile, your pinned post, you know, everything that you're pushing out should speak to your brand, and it should be what you want to portray as the first impression. And you can make it or break it that way. And so they don't even realize what they're missing out a lot of times because they're not even able to have the conversation with the person because they've been discounted based off of the first photo.
Oh, like that is just, you know, that you're just preaching exactly what I just live, you know, and just helping people understand too that you can only make one first impression.
One time.
Yes. And, you know, yes, you can replace and you can get better and all those things, but it's so important to put that time in, you know, up front and making that just quality photos. And it's so simple to do now. I mean, you wouldn't want to do that with real estate. You know, you want to have a professional photographer come in. But for someone, you know, as they're selling horses, it's okay to use a really quality smartphone and, but quality, you know, not in the, when I see the screenshots of videos, I just cringe. I'm like, you're selling, you know, like it just doesn't make any sense to
And
me.
asking top dollar, right? So
Yes.
yeah, I mean it has to match, right? And so perception is reality. And in fact, it's so important to us that I mean, we carry close to 200 listings at all times. And so we actually hired somebody within and opened a media company within our real estate company. So we have photographers and videographers on staff. We don't source that out. I train them personally. I spell the vision. And when we do a listing shoot, especially for our luxe or equestrian properties, it's not just like, hey, my photographer's going to show up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and he might be there an hour. No, it's a half day media session. Like that's what I call it. I don't say it's a photography session. And we spell out the whole theme. We have a theme. We have a vision. We bring props, you know, and we may film content for 4 to 5 hours in different ways so that that content can then be put on the different portals with different themes and, you know, so that it can speak to the market for those viewers.
So I kind of have a random question. We have a beautiful home across the street from us that is for sale, and they had an open house yesterday. And we noticed that no one really showed up. And my husband and I, or Sunday, sorry. And my husband and I were talking about it. We're like, do you think it's because people can see they're doing a great job marketing it online? Have those open houses kind of gone by the wayside? Is that something that's not a thing anymore? No.
No, if you don't do it right, they have. But we actually utilize open houses a ton. And in fact, our newer agents, after they get out of boot camp, are required to do a certain number of open houses. And they see it as a benefit because we get so much traction from those. So even if they don't get somebody that buys that house, they get the buyers that come in. That's the benefit of hosting an open house. So we'll run on any given weekend, we'll run anywhere from 10 to 30 open houses on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And sometimes I'll do a listing launch or a broker open even during the middle of the week that I will also open up to the public as well. And so, but we do them a little differently. I mean, they're blasted everywhere on all the digital media. I don't call it social media anymore. It's digital media.
Digital
And
media. Oh.
sometimes I'll make it where they can come and get content. If there are other brokers, they are allowed to film that house so they can use that content. There's lots of different ways to get people through there, so that you get more eyes on the home because you never know who's gonna want to buy it.
Yes. Yeah. And who's going to connect? Yeah. And feel that emotional connection. You know, I think this is like just to, I mean, it's so clear why someone needs to work with someone like you that has this 360 view of the entire process and not that, you know, all real estate agents aren't doing a great job, but it's making so much more sense why it's so important, all of these things, because it's not just putting a sign in the yard and posting it on Facebook. There's so much more involved. And I know with what you do, because I see it on the horse side too, putting in that effort is so obvious to people, you know, and that translates into clients, right? They know that you're putting that effort in and they're attracted to that. And like I said before, I mean, you're competing with not just you, but just those photos, the message, everything is competing with everything on digital marketing, you know, everywhere. So to stand
It's
out.
definitely made it harder for kind of your average realtor. And I don't like to use that term, but there are a lot of us, right? And so we all get put into this big group. And it's kind of like when people say, oh, the horse world's a small world, but it's kind of the same concept. It's like, yes, it is, but there's so many different niches and, specifics even within the horse world that doesn't necessarily speak all the same language. And it's the same thing with realtors. I mean, and that's why, like, if you're going to try to sell your farm, your equestrian farm, it's really, really, really important to use not only somebody who's been in real estate and knows the marketing world, but also knows the equestrian world personally, not just like, oh yeah, I've been on a horse once or twice before. But like really understands the specifics of like, oh, by the way, this particular farm has foaling stall, so it's set up for breeding, and it has cameras from the window downstairs, and like there's a whole system for that. And that's something that your average realtor wouldn't even know how to market. So that's been a big bonus for me, is being able to, and we have so many people. I don't know if you know or remember Ruthie Meyer, so she works for me as well, and her husband's an Olympian. So like we really do have the depth there on the equestrian side that really makes a big difference.
Well, and do you find too, because I know when we bought our farm a million years ago, I really didn't really care about the house. I really cared about the setup of the
That's
barn
so
and and the pastures but that was the most important thing to me, was that the horses were going to be really happy.
I say that every time. As horse owners, we will sacrifice our house. We will live in a trailer if we have to, as long as the barn is beautiful, the footing is good, the fencing is superior. Yeah, it cracks me up. I mean, we used to make jokes about, we would go look at, we'd see something online about a property and it would say like riding rink, RINK.
Oh, I know. That was the big thing. That one, it was in Alpharetta. I remember that sign, and everybody is like, really? Like, who did that?
And then you'd get out there and it would be like a metal round pen. And you're like, this isn't a riding arena.
I know, it's so true. That's so funny. So if somebody, they have the idea they want to list their farm, like where do they start? Like they just, I mean, obviously they're going to pick up the phone and call you, but what's the first step of even getting started and trying to sell an equestrian property?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on the location. Obviously, we do quite a bit in Ocala, but I also have an office down in Palm Beach, so we do some stuff in Wellington as well. So it's been very interesting to see the dynamics of people kind of going back and forth and wanting second homes in either place and that sort of thing. So just finding out kind of the end goal of where they want to go, what that looks like. I try to get the big picture, not just, oh, let's sell this house today for X number of dollars. I want to see like what's your goal? Where are you going? Are you taking the horses? What's your long-term vision? So for example, I have one right now. It's a beautiful $4 million farm. They're downscaling. They still want everything that they have on their 63 acres, but just like much smaller. They want to go from basically 63 to 6. And that's a big move, and that's an emotional move. And she loves her horses just as much as I love my horses. So there are certain aspects that are super important. So we go through the non-negotiables. Like, okay, let's talk about what, the husband's non-negotiables are, or the spouse or whatever, because not both partners are necessarily horse people. That's the other thing, right? So figuring out what the non-negotiables are for both parties, what that lifestyle now looks like for them. And then we kind of work backwards from there. So I go in with a little bit of a different approach. I kind of focus on the big picture first, and then we narrow down to what the evaluation looks like on their current farm. What's it going to look like during the selling process, because it is a working farm. So often I'll get people, they'll call me and they'll be like, well, I'm not ready yet. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And I've got my mare's about to foal and blah, blah. I'm like, it's fine. Like people understand it's a working farm. I don't expect, or no one expects it to look perfect 24/7. So that's a misconception. And I just kind of put their mind at ease. And typically if it's a big luxe equestrian property, I am there for every showing. So, they can rest their mind that somebody's not going to be coming in there touching their babies or their stallion or whatever the case may be.
No, I think that part is really important, because that's what would be so hard about in that selling process. And I have been through it, where, and I did think that I had to
It's
move the
tough.
horses. Yeah, and and everything had to be perfect and not think in it. It all worked out, but that was a very stressful time. I didn't have somebody that we were working with that really understood that process. And like you said, it's just really important to be with someone who does and that you can continue to live because it is a farm. Yeah.
Well, because it's the little things that you don't even think of until you're in that moment. Like, for example, knowing when feeding times are. Like, I would have never scheduled a showing right in the middle of feeding time, or if a baby had just foaled to make sure that that gate is not unlocked. I mean, there's a lot of little
Yeah.
things, and I've even had sellers who have downscaled to the point where they've sold off all their horses, but need to sell their horse farm and don't really know how to showcase that. I will literally trailer my own horses over there, which I have done on many times, and brought my girls from Peachstone Farm to be in the video for marketing the property with the horses on their farm.
I love
So,
that. You definitely go the extra mile. So,
yeah.
where all do y'all sell? Like, where are all your locations?
So we still have an office in Georgia because that's where I started. I'm a Georgia girl to heart. I have my VP of PR. He heads up that office. We have several agents there. And then in Florida, we have five locations. So Ocala, Jacksonville, Tampa, Palm Beach, and the Florida Keys.
Wow. And the Florida Keys, of course. I had a
Yeah.
significant. Yeah, that's awesome. No, you can just create businesses wherever you go.
That's right.
So if you somebody wanted to get into real estate, because in fact, my intern, who you would love, does want to get into real estate. What's your advice for somebody? And I do need to get her connected with you. I think you'd love her. She's an eventer
Fab.
too.
Oh, I love it. Haven't invented it in a while. I'm kind of missing it. I was just talking about cross country this morning. It never gets out of your system.
No, I miss that feeling,
I do
and especially
too.
having been in Kentucky that last weekend.
Rolex. Yeah.
Yeah,
We
it
don't
just,
call it Rolex anymore, but
yeah,
I
and
know,
I
I know.
never felt that kind of exhilaration, but I do. I thought about it. I was like, I'm never gonna feel that again, just
No.
that
Doing the
galloping.
dressage. Nope.
Yeah,
I
lack
know.
of.
Yeah, anyway, no, I'd love to talk to her. I think just connecting with a company that can not only provide the front end support, like when they're first licensed and getting that onboarding and getting the training, but also continuous mentorship, because there's a really big failure rate within the first couple of years for realtors. I think it's like 87% get
What?
out of the business within the first year, and the income is very low for the average real estate agent in their first year. If they can make it past their first and second year, the statistics go much higher on their success rate, and our specific statistics are much higher, almost triple what the average income is for a realtor with year one for us. And that's because we have a boot camp. We do the mentorship. We're hands-on. We've got myself and other sales leaders that they can call. We provide the leads. We do the marketing. I just did an hour pitch yesterday at this mastermind showing all the other broker owners, all the branding and marketing that we do for our realtors. So they can come in brand new in the business, not have a ton of expenses out of pocket. Be provided leads. As long as they're willing to get out there and work it, we will show them the ropes. And if they do all the things, they are guaranteed that they will have success. We just did our awards gala and we had over 35 in our silver and gold club. Some of our agents closed 29 to 30 transactions a year in their second, third year. So,
Insane.
It's you got to have guidance. You can't just go with a company. A lot of people that here's a big mistake new agents make. They get focused on the commission splits, or they get focused on the bottom dollar, and they go with these companies that are like virtual or flat fees or high splits. And I'm like, guess what? Zero, 100% of zero is still zero. So if
Right.
you're not selling anything, even because you're on a higher split, that doesn't mean anything. You've got to start with somebody who can provide you some support. And I've got agents who've been with me 7 or 8 years and have all the rights to go somewhere else and do something else and have built themselves up to the point where they could do that, but they choose not to do that because they have success with us and it's a family. And why would you? They know we're I'm going to take care of
How would
them
you?
and they're going to
Yeah.
take care of me. So.
So why do you think the rate is so high Is it because the expectation, like they see all the pretty things on Facebook, like showing houses and all the pretty properties, and then they get in it and they're like, wow, this is actually really hard work. Is that what
That's
do you
part
think?
of it. That's
Yeah.
part of it, but it's also, you're flying, you're a little bird that just left the nest, flying in a whole big great world you don't know. And so if you don't have that constant support, I mean, not only do you not have the leads,
Right.
you don't necessarily have the support to be able to guide you how to navigate the conversations. I mean, we have AI systems. Our tech wheel is so big. We have AI systems that monitor the conversations. Every single conversation gets monitored and scored. So as a new agent, they can go in and do role plays in this system and learn how to have a conversation over the phone to be able to get the appointment to then get in front of somebody. So there's a lot that goes into it. We do personality profile selling. So they learn how to sell to the different type of personalities, what to say, what not to say. All of that psychology goes into selling, and it's not just like you just show up and look pretty and show a cute house and it happens. There's so many things that can go wrong in between. And so then we also mitigate that for them. And every time something happens, they're calling us saying, okay, well, this just happened. We just had an inspection. Well, how do we deal with this? Well, the appraisal came in low. Well, how do we get them to closing? They're short $500. What, I mean, there's,
Yeah.
situations that occur all throughout the life of the sale that a lot of agents just can't navigate.
Gosh, it's so fascinating. It kind of makes me want to get into real estate.
Well, and that's the thing is like, we love it so much. That's why we recruit so much, because we want everyone to have the freedom and be able to enjoy it as much as we do. But we also try not to sugarcoat it because it isn't easy.
Yeah.
But if it's something that you enjoy and you do it full time, there really isn't a part-time life in our world.
Yeah.
Then you'll enjoy it and you'll make a good living and you'll be successful.
So what is your favorite part about what you do with the real estate?
I think for me, it's changed over the years. And I think now I've got two, I'll say. For me, it's seeing the wins of my agents that I've groomed, brought into the business, trained, groomed, and now they're very successful. That's one prong of it. The other prong is seeing all of my worlds collide. It wasn't something that I expected. I used to keep the equestrian and the real estate separate because equestrian was my escape and my hobby. And so over here, I was selling real estate and I was doing new home communities, and like I would go home and ride my horse. And then when I came to Ocala, it just organically merged. And so now I get all this business, just like people like you that like I know from my other world, and now they want me to sell their farm, and they're talking about their horse having babies. And I love that part of it. I love just the very authentic, organic cross reference. And it just feels very normal. I'm not trying to, be in my business hat one moment and something else in another. It's just my world. And I really enjoy working with the equestrian clients.
Well, that's you partially answered it then, because the other thing I was going to ask you, what's your favorite part of your farm side? Because I know you own a farm, you train, you breed, you sell horses, you import horses. But it sounds like you've kind of merged the favorite parts together.
So, for example, my stallion who was competing at WEC last year and this year, we decided to include a piece of behind the scenes at Peachstone in one of our episodes. So, Riley got to speak about her life at UF. Drew got to speak about living on the farm and raising the babies. I had my girls on there. We followed, Briley, my stallion, to WEC to show. And so that's been fun being able to show that side of it. And show what I love. I would say on the farm specifically, there's no other feeling like going out and having a good ride in the morning and then starting your day. It's like I feel like I'm already accomplished. I haven't even done anything, and it's like 9 a.m. and I've already ridden my horse and had a good ride. And it's just like it's definitely still my escape. There might be a Saturday or Sunday where I try not to work and I'll take a half a day and just I will literally spend my entire time out there at the farm, going and seeing the babies, grooming. For me, it's less about competing anymore. It used to be a lot about competing, and now it's just being on the farm and connecting with the horses because they're a magical creature. They're
Yeah.
just, they amaze me.
It's pretty cool after all this time in the industry that you still, I mean, I feel the same way, but you know, that just, yeah, they just bring so much joy.
I think a lot of people get burnout on it, you know, and I think, and then that requires you to step back and say, what brought me into this to begin with? And if you
Yeah.
stay true to that and try to make sure that you reconnect on that level, then, you know, they'll be in my life forever for sure.
Yeah.
At some, and now I've got a granddaughter on her way.
Yeah.
We already have a little pony queued up for her
Course you do. Of course you do. Of course you have the
I
pony.
bred.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rhonda, one of the things that I've always, and I've said this earlier, that I've admired about you, your passion for everything that you do is just always 150%, you know, everything that you go for. And it's so inspiring in so many ways. And I just appreciate you being here today and just giving us a little, you know, insight to all that you do. And I know I learned a lot about what goes on in the real estate world, and I appreciate you being here.
Well, I appreciate you having me, giving me this platform to talk. I support your business 1000%. And I'd like to end with just telling you also about a little initiative that I launched last year called Deals and Heels. And
Okay.
it is a women's group that I founded that is women business owners or women in business who I admire, that I put into this group. And we kind of help mentor each other on different aspects of running a business. And we're going to do events twice a year. Our launch was we went to a fundraising event at the Hilton in Ocala for a movie about sex trafficking. And it was really cool to raise money for that particular initiative. And it spoke volumes to a lot of the women that I had there. I don't know what our next event's going to be, but I'd love to put you in that group because I think you can bring a
Yeah.
lot to it. And I like
Thank
to see other women being able to. Instead of tearing other women down, which you can see as you get successful, that's not my world. And I want to empower other women to be able to be successful and run their own business if they want to.
I love it. Well, thank you again, and thank you everyone for listening to the Main Street Minute, and we'll see you next time.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please let us know. Email support at mainstreetmarket.com. Please share and join us again next week for another episode of the Main Street Minute. Right here on the Equus Radio Network.